Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and the Bot. Phone lines here, 221-1402. And welcome to Cinco de Mayo. And
tell us about Cinco de Mayo.
Well, it's the 5th of May. That's all I know, and I drink copious amounts of tequila.
Aren't we supposed to? I have a little history on it.
Okay, but first, our producer, Frosty.
So I have a question for you.
All right.
Have you ever eaten the worm out of the bottle?
Oh, you know what? There's a long story to that I'm not even too sure you're old enough to hear what I did one time with a worm in a bottle.
How about suckage?
Whoa. You have to suck the worm out of the bottle at the end of it. But I've never remembered it because usually by the time you get down to the worm in the bottle, you don't want
to. Cinco de Mayo, Spanish for 5th of May, is a regional holiday in Mexico. But, of course, we celebrate any time we can drink tequila and eat chips and have great Mexican food. Primarily celebrated in the state of Pueblo with some limited recognition in other parts of Mexico. We're not even going to go there.
We're not going to go there because mainly it's celebrated really big up here. They don't really celebrate.
But this is where we're talking about no borders. The holiday commemorates the Mexican Army's unlikely defeat of French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th.
I don't know why it's unlikely when you talk about the defeat of French forces.
1862 is when it happened. We're celebrating it.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's a great victory, of course, then for the Mexican government and the Mexican citizens, and just another defeat in the eyes of the French.
Well, now let's go to the phones with our world famous terrainer expert on. Now, what do we do with all that chips and salsa? It's Joe Adamson. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Linda and Carl. Yeah, shame on you for talking about chips and salsa.
Well, you know what? We will not eat. Linda does, but I, of course, don't because I'm working my ass.
I'm going to use a couple initials, but you know what they are. Starts with a B. But yes, we are going to do tequila and salsa. But Joe, what are the tips of the day?
Hey, the tip of the day is plan to succeed and never give up. It's really important to approach exercise with a positive attitude. That's one reason why a couple weeks ago I suggested that you have someone that you're accountable to, such as your spouse, a friend, a trainer, because it's hard to keep that positive attitude going sometimes. But we need to fully expect to succeed rather than expecting to fail. I think too many people get started expecting to fail, and you just cannot give up. Sometimes it may take a year for your body to get serious about making some changes, so hang with it. Sometimes just hanging in there isn't such a bad thing. A couple of years ago, I had a client that became frustrated. He wasn't losing any weight. It was months into it, and he finally quit, and a couple months later, he calls me, and he's up about 20 pounds, and, you know, we both kind of had a laugh because he realized that, hey, not making so much progress sounded pretty good at that about that point.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have the big thing is for people is to stick with, you know, every tip that you've given, get started. You don't need, $18,000 worth of equipment. You get started, get walking, stick to it, get a partner. You know, I mean, every one of your tips.
Get up, get out of bed.
Are common sense.
Put your feet on the floor and put on your tennis shoes.
It's not rocket science.
No, and they work. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And Linda and I are really enjoying our workouts down there.
Thank you. We're enjoying having you guys.
Well, I tell you what, then Friday we're having couple guests on here.
Oh, that's right. We have Angie on, and one of your very special clients.
One of her very success story clients.
Oh, my gosh.
Ordinarily, I would not.
He emailed us.
Yeah, I would not do this. But
no, he emailed us, and his story is so phenomenal that we've got to share it with our listeners. It's unbelievable, this guy.
Yeah, tell you what, it gives hope to people that think, you know what, I can't do these things.
And
you know what, we are big into the positive here.
Absolutely.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot.
Hey, you're welcome. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, happy Cinco de Mayo. Have a beautiful day. And coming up,
we're going to be discussing the propositions, and we have some guests in here that are, you know, they are barn burners. You've already had to separate them twice, and on the line, we've got Assemblyman Jim Nielsen. He's going to come in here, throw gas on the fire, and jump right into the fight. I love this when politicians start fighting. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our phone line's here 221-1402, and this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's is located there, along with the finest tobacco emporium in the western United States. Coffee any way you like it from Kimmy and the girls. Joe and Shelley support our community. Support Joe and Shelley down there. All right. We've been promising propositions. We're going to talk about it today. Our guests are Ray Roberts, a well-known local personality around here and known throughout most of the United States.
Infamous, I think.
Infamous. And, of course, Bruce Ross, who is the editorial in charge of all the editorials for the Record Searchlight and has agreed to join us here. And we appreciate both of y'all being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, Ray.
Yeah.
You're first.
You want my stance on the
I want your stance on what's going on here, and then Bruce will give his stance. We've also got, of course, Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, who will bring him in after Ray and Bruce.
I have this inherent mistrust for politicians, first off. Anytime that they should do something and they don't do what they normally should do, then they come up with things like these propositions. They put people against each other, like they'll have a proposition that will benefit education and they'll put that in to get all the educators out on the street and spending money and everything to get it passed. And same with law enforcement and a number of other things, rainy day funds. They do this because they don't get together in Sacramento and do what they need to do to begin with. And now they're selling us on this idea that this is going to get us out of debt when it's not going to get us out of debt. They've already talked about $9 billion in debt beginning of the next fiscal year, irregardless of what they're doing here. So to me, everything on this thing, like rainy day funds and all this funding for education, for everything, is just a shell game.
Okay. Period. Bruce.
Well, I guess I have just a hair more optimism about the ability of our politicians to at least attempt to solve some problems in the state. You know, we looked at some of these, we looked at all the initiatives, the editorial board, the Record Searchlight, the editor, the publisher, and myself, you know, we looked at these and we kind of weighed them. We thought, you know, some we liked, some we thought made sense, some don't. You know, 1A, 1A is tough. You know, those tax increases, not this year, but in 2011, 2012, those are a pain in the neck. We had to look, okay, this rainy day fund, this spending limits on the state. I think probably everybody in this room, in this radio studio, would agree that the state of California badly needs spending limits. Mm-hmm. Because that's the fundamental problem. They're spending too darn much money. So look at this spending limit. Is it going to work in the long term? Is this going to help reduce the size of this chronic problem we have? And is that worth trading off for extra taxes for a year or two, which they are temporary. They are going to go away. And that's written into the law. And, you know, it would take a 2/3 vote, which, you know, you've been reading about. It takes a lot of fussing and fuming and heartache and stamping. And, you know, the Republicans in Sacramento, they will hold the line for a very, very long time. They're pretty good at that. In fighting tax increases in the legislature. Mm-hmm. So when they say they're temporary and they're going to go away, I believe that. I don't think there's going to be any, you know, great appetite come 2 years from now or 3 years from now to raise those again.
And that's a good point because we'll get some of Nielsen in, because some of the things I've heard is that they may not go away and it may keep going in based on the rainy day. Assemblyman Nielsen, good morning.
Good morning. Let's stay on the spending cap. You know, first of all, there has got to be a spending cap. A part of this whole program, the only thing that is helpful to the long term is, in fact, the spending cap. But this one is fatally flawed with the 2-year extension of the taxes. Now, and here's another take on that. I agree absolutely with Bruce. I believe that there are the Republican votes not to have those taxes extended. However, the money that will be received in those 2 extra years of taxes will, by many in Sacramento, not be viewed as money to retire the debt, but it will be viewed as new money, and it will be spent on new things, and it will add to the budget problem. That's one of the major flaws with that extension of the taxes, as well as it being a cynical ploy sabotage a spending cap. That's my opinion.
Okay, you know, Jim, let me, you're kind of breaking up here a little bit on your phone, but from what I understand, you're saying is, yes, the, you know, the taxes would be, could be, would be ended, that you feel that that's going to happen. However, that this rainy day fund, all these billions of dollars we brought in will not be used to pay down the debt, will not be used as a rainy day fund. It'll be, that money will be taken out to be used for other projects.
That's what I really truly believe, Carl, that it would be viewed as and used as new money. Now, some of us might be able to stop some of that spending, but that's the whole problem with it, that it will oblige future budgets.
Right.
No matter what happens, we have got to have a spending limit, and it should be a very simple spending limit. Population growth and the cost of living, that's all it should be.
Okay, we got to take a break here. This is Carl Lindebaugh on Free Fire Radio. Now, phone lines are open at 221-1402, so give us a call about how, what you're thinking about the propositions. It's News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl Lindebaugh. Hey, we're discussing today is the initiatives in Proposition 1. The big one, I think, and we're going to get to all of them, but the big one here, of course, is 1A. Is do we need a rainy day fund? If it is a rainy day fund, is it only going to last for 2 years and the extra taxes? And once it's in there, will this fund be used to, one, pay down the deficit, or will it be like a little piggy bank that greedy politicians can get into to pull money out of for their pet projects?
You know, I love the way these things are worded, and it's supposed to be, I guess, worded where people can understand it, but they put some words in there that is a red light for me. This Proposition 1A says changes in the budget process. I'm going to read just exactly verbatim what it is. Could limit future deficits and spending by increasing the size of the state rainy day fund and requiring above average revenues to be deposited into it for use during economic downturns and other purposes. First off, it says could limit. That's one of them. Higher state tax revenues of roughly $16 billion from 2010-11 and 2012-13. Over time, increased amounts of money in rainy day reserve and potentially less ups and downs in state spending. The words potentially and could limit and these kind of things that go in there tell me that these are lawyers. It tells me that there's some wiggle room here as to what they do with those tax dollars.
Well, you know, Ray, nobody's going to – I think it would be, quite frankly, just probably legally impossible to write anything that would handcuff them in a way that would probably satisfy you. But
probably so.
You know, the rainy day fund is pretty – I think it's pretty good – eloquent, aren't I? But, you know, it says any revenue over the averages will go into that rainy day fund. So that they don't get that money to spend. It goes into the rainy day fund. There are laws about how it can be spent. It can't be spent on ongoing programs unless revenue falls. So it kind of smooths out the ups and downs so that, you know, your schools, you know, are they going to lay off thousands of teachers? Are they going to, you know, lay off hundreds of cops, dozens of cops like they're talking about in Reading right now?
Yeah. But that's the point. I think the biggest argument for yours, you're being for 1A, is the fact that Gray Davis, when he had all the money, he spent it. And basically back then, he did. He admitted he spent
sure.
it. You know, and they could have put a rainy day fund in without any tax increases or anything else, but he didn't do it.
Hey, let's go to the phones. Gene, good morning.
Hello.
You're up.
Yes. Is what I wanted to bring up is the fact about there is no tax that is rescinded. And so to say that this tax is only going to be for 2 years, remember when they raised our taxes, sales tax, to cover the cost of rebuilding for the Loma Prieta, I think it was, earthquake? And,
uh-huh.
and that was just going to be for a while. And we have not had that tax, our sales tax, cut back to what it was. They will never ever do that. And not only that, but then when they started out, it didn't include food. Now it does.
I'm just
saying to the people, do not believe them that they will stop the tax in 2011 because it will not happen. Name me one tax that they rescinded.
Bruce?
Well, is Assemblyman Nielsen still on the line?
Jim, are you still on?
Jim?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, look, I believe that there will still be the votes to stop the extension of those taxes, but be advised that the pressure is always going to be there. There's no lack of interest to want more money in the budget, and there will always put a tremendous amount of pressure on legislators. That's just going to be a given.
Yeah.
I can only feel very strongly about one thing, that no matter what happens on May 19th, there's not going to be votes for more taxes in the legislature. Now,
does the sales tax apply to food? I don't think it does, generally. Some food?
Did you say sales tax applies to food, Bruce?
Well, that's what the caller said, and is she right?
No, it does not apply to food.
I don't think so.
As a farmer, but I fought that battle for many, many years. In fact, there were some discussions about extending the sales taxes to a broader base in this very particular budget. Unfortunately, that did not happen.
No. Hey, we're going to take a hard break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. When we come back, we'll be talking about the rest of the initiatives and finish up here in the next 30 minutes. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guests are Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, Bruce Ross from the Record Searchlight, the brain down there, and Ray Roberts, the infamous Ray Roberts.
Yeah.
Okay, let me kind of go through this, and then we've got people on the phone too. Is for 1A, Ray is arguing against this, in the sense that it's more taxes, once they start, it's just going to keep going. Bruce is saying is that, we need to have, a fund that kind of levels out for good and bad, and especially if the taxes go away in 2 years. And Assemblyman Nielsen, I think what you're saying is that, hey, once it's there, that it's they're going to be wanting to use that money for everything but what it's supposed to be there for, use it their own little pet projects, and there'll be a lot of pressure to keep the taxes going after 2012. Am I kind of correct on all this?
Hey, that's a good summary of our positions. Yeah.
Ray?
Yeah. Well, I have this mistrust, I think, for anything that goes on down in Sacramento. I've seen what happens down there, and I just when politicians, I think, first off, I think the politicians are elected to do a certain job. When they don't do it, they come up with propositions like this.
Uh-huh.
But, that's to me. I think that they should do the job to begin with and then get it over with.
Bruce?
Well, I just say Ray doesn't trust politicians. If you don't trust politicians, the rainy day fund is, and the spending limit is, it's a restraint on them. It's not a, it's not a shackles that throws them in a box down at the bottom of the ocean, but it is a it will guide them in a better direction.
Okay, now Gene is back on the line. Gene, you're going to talk about taxes on food.
Well, I couldn't hear Jim Nielsen because of him speaking on the phone.
Uh-huh.
But is what I wanted to say about the taxes on food is when they started that, you didn't have any restaurants, takeout taxes on it when it first started out. And then they added the taxes on all restaurants. Food, and that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Taxes on food.
We were thinking the grocery stores and stuff
that. No, that is food tax, and that's like I said, they always find another way to add to it, and they'll never take it away. So
hey, thanks for the clarification,
Gene.
All right, thanks, Gene. Okay, let's go down to a couple of the other propositions here, or the other initiatives on this about the. I think let's go to the last one about. Should legislators be paid or get pay raises if there's a budget deficit? There seems to be a lot of agreement on this one.
Well, this is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. The only thing that bothers me with this one is it doesn't say that the pay raises won't be added immediately once they finally get the budget going. I mean, if it's operating in a deficit, then they said while they're negotiating, obviously they won't get a pay raise or something while the negotiation's going on between the Democrats and the Republicans in Sacramento. But what they can put it on retroactive to the minute that they wanted it back when. Nothing is written in stone. Nothing says that they're not going to get the raises. I don't think they're getting too much raised anyway. I mean, they've only been getting, cost of living things. It's usually with the inflation. They haven't got, 4 out of the last 6 years or something they've gotten raised. So I don't think they've got, I think that's put on there to try to get people to the polls. I think that's a nothing.
Well, yeah. I call it pay per for performance. In other words, you don't do the job. But to be honest with you, it's a good slap at the legislature, which is deserved. But it won't get the budget any sooner. That's the sad part about that particular proposition. That's not going to cause anybody who wants to vote for or against the budget to vote for or against the budget any faster. It's a darn good message, though.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's saying, you know what, if we're taking cuts and we're losing our jobs out here, how come you guys are still getting raises? And you can call it cost of living, adjustments. That's what it is. Okay, how about we look at 1B here, the education funding payment plan, where they're talking about supplemental payments to local school districts. And they're talking about how it could save a lot of money in 2009-10 and 2010-11, but potential state cost of billions of dollars annually thereafter.
Well, what the part of that provision does, the problem with it, it's going to oblige future budgets by about $9.8 billion, okay? In other words, we will be putting in the future into the base funding for education about $9.8 billion that we wouldn't be otherwise. So, in terms of getting more money into education, if that's the goal, then that's fine. But it is going to complicate the future budget problem.
So, in other words, it's kind of like I'll pay you for, if you give me a hamburger today, I'll pay you on Thursday?
Well, yeah, if this measure is defeated, then future budgets will be $9.8 billion less in the base funding. If it passes, it'll be $9.8 billion more.
And I think there's nothing to stop. At the Record Searchlight, we recommended a no vote on this one because we figured, look, come those years, if the state has the money, the state can decide, hey, they'll probably want to spend it on schools. Generally speaking, the schools are pretty popular. But, are we going to have the money 2 years from now? I don't know. Do you know, Assemblyman?
Bruce makes a very good point. It's kind of what the problem with a lot of these propositions, the couple we're going to be talking about here, tobacco tax and mental health funding, it's autopilot budgeting or budgeting by the ballot box. And you don't have any opportunity to establish priorities. They're built in. You've obliged a tremendous proportion of the budget already by ballot box budgeting.
Jim, aren't they taking money out of the educational thing from the lottery, and aren't they taking educational money out for some other things and other propositions that are being given to the public here?
The lottery was sold to the people that it was going to be a big boon to public education, and then certainly I guess it's helped. I didn't happen to like the lottery way back when, and certainly I thought that was a poor way to fund education, but it has certainly helped fund education.
Well, that's
what it does, it obliges more and more state budget money that nobody can even establish any other priority for. It's off the top.
Well, that's under 1C. That's the next an issue we talk about. Let's go to the phones here. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Ken at the Owner Builder.
Morning. Hey.
Somebody brought up the issue of handcuffing, and I thought, that's a great idea. We ought to handcuff these guys. It'd make it a little harder to get into our wallets.
Well, they fortunately, it takes a 2/3. I just wonder what we would look like right now if we didn't have that 2/3 rule.
I think they're trying to take that away.
Well, I think they are too. And the problem is that. Or the good thing is at least we have it takes a 2/3 majority to overrule that. Carol, good morning.
Carol?
Yeah, you're on, Carol.
Talking to me?
Yes, I am.
First of all, Ray, I miss you.
Thank you.
Second of all, our governor, he's so into greenhouse gases right now, he can't even think straight. And third of all, it's this thing with pouring more money into the schools. When I retired, I started working for the schools. In the kitchen and custodial, and I can tell you, money doesn't get down to the schools, to the classroom. It's all up there in the bureaucracy. Carl, am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I know is that in Shasta County we have 16 school districts, and I'm still trying to figure out how come we need 16 school districts when I see others that have twice the number of students and they have two school districts. And so, I think that there's a lot of money that could be saved by consolidating some of these districts. I look at if I may be wrong, some teacher needs to call me and slap me upside the head, but I think our salaries of our teachers are some of the highest in the United States, if not the highest, but yet our spending per student seems to be among the lowest.
And another thing, you know, when I was a kid in school, we had respect for our teachers. You better have respect. You better be quiet and listen and learn.
Well, discipline's being
kicked out of the window.
Well, that's a whole show itself.
Well, that could have something to do with parents.
Yeah.
Well, it starts at home, but, you know.
Hey, Carol, thank you so much for the phone call. We have to take a break.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, this is Carl and DeBott. We're going to be talking, finishing up on these propositions. We have people on the lines here. We have, of course, Assembly Nielsen. But Ray Roberts and Bruce Ross, we want to be talking about the rest of these propositions for today. And we're going to be discussing them, of course, some more over the next week.
And we're taking your calls at 221-1402.
News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Back, you're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. You know that Mother's Day is just a little less than a week off, and if you're looking for something special for your mom, well, guess what? New Image Studios has a special called Love Your Mom's Portrait Special. Just go to their website, www.newimagestudio.net, and you'll have your portrait ready by Mother's Day. In the studio today, we have Ray Roberts, Bruce Ross, and on the phone, Jim Nielsen. And boy, you should have heard us at the break. I think these guys are ready to pop a question.
Hey, Jim. We want to talk about the initiative 1D, and it says it protects children's services funding and helps balance the state budget. The question is, though, is that it appears to take money out of the children's education fund, for the Head Start programs, and put it into the general fund. Is this true?
Well, these measures were passed by the voters, the 1D, 1E, and the monies have not been expended, okay? So that would lead me to believe there's no monumental crisis, or those monies would have obviously been expended. Here's the point about them, though, okay? Yes, it would take money that could be used for those purposes that the voters voted for, all right? But maybe the voters were sold a bill of goods to start with. But that isn't really my point either. For decades, budgets have been balanced by shifting little funds around here and there. 1D and 1E are but shifting bigger pots of money around to balance the budget. And they don't do anything to fix the budget in the long run. They simply fund what is broken today.
So you're saying is that this money has not been used in these funds, that it was available, it was put in there by the voters for the different propositions that were voted for, and yet the money hasn't been used, so they're going to take the money and shift it to the general fund. So it's not going to have, it will not have an impact on these programs?
No, it will have an impact. At some point, they would have been used, I assume.
Right.
But my point is, it's only a temporary fix for what's broke. It doesn't do anything about the long-term problem of the budget.
Okay. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. This is Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, this budget mess that California is in, we got two choices. We either reduce spending or increase taxes. And as long as the Republicans are in there, we can prevent them from raising taxes. To me, it looks to me like we got Jim Nielsen on there. Get him to do an initiative. We need an initiative that says that the legislature, they're supposed to do a budget by the 1st of July. And if they don't get the budget done by the 1st of July, every day after that, they forfeit all pay and allowances and per diem until they get a budget done, because they're not doing the people's work, so we need to penalize them to motivate them to get the job done. What do you think about that?
Well,
I've suggested just locking everybody in the building and keep out all of the special interests and even all the press, so the legislators just have to suffer with each other. I've been through a lot of budgets over many, many years. And getting a budget is usually more the product of fatigue than anything else.
Yeah, you know,
the product of what?
Being too tired.
They get tired, so they pass a budget. Now, see, here's, Robert, what I see here is if you cut their pay like this, there may be somebody on the side that's holding out against taxes that needs the money. So he says, hey, look, you know what? I'm just going to go along and vote for this just so I can get paid. That's the danger of that. Now, not raising their pay, you know, I could see that, and I think that's going to pass easy because that's not going to have a big impact on it. Hey, Robert, we got to run. Thanks for your phone call. Roberta, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Sorry. If we want to really punish the legislature, do not vote for any of these propositions. We're just putting Band-Aids on their, well, I call it immoral activity to ask our children to pay for our things today. But anyway, this Prop A means that we'll have record high taxes for 4 years, and it will be $16 billion of our tax dollars if we pass this. This is insanity. And I do have a good website if people would like explanations for all the props, and it's robynordell.com.
Okay.
And it's R-O-B-Y-N.
Okay.
Nordell.com. And then she jumps off to all the other legislators and people, you know, too, so you can get a rounded thing. But I would like to punish the legislature and vote no on all of these.
Okay, Roberta, thank you.
Bye.
We just want to remind you that, you know, go check out your mail, because a lot of times, you know, you throw out things that look like they're, you know, the flimsy kind of paper. But this is a special edition vote that we're having on May 19th, and it's your duty as a citizen to vote. Pay attention to what these propositions are and make your decision. But today, if we're taking your calls. We have some experts with us with great opinions. But right now, we do have to take a break. But 221-1402 are the lines here. They're open. We're taking your calls. This is Carla Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody that's been on our panel here. Of course, Assemblyman Nielsen, Ray Roberts, and Bruce Ross. And let's go to the phones. Martin, we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, I'll be quick.
All right.
I see these propositions as nothing but Band-Aids on a severed artery. What we need is a tourniquet. They have got to shut off all this taxing that they're talking about and get back to their jobs and balance the budget.
You know, Martin, to me it just seems so simple, is that in my house we have X amount of dollars to spend.
And we
spend that, and things get tight. You don't get do some things. Maybe
right.
Maybe you don't get the extra channels on cable. What I don't understand is the legislators probably they don't run their homes the way they do our budgets at that state level. And I don't understand that. But
they just come back asking for more taxes to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
It's got to quit rolling. They need to start cutting where they can cut. You know, that's all there is to it. There just needs to be some cutting.
Right. Okay, Martin, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. We've got just a short time, Mike.
Okay, well, my idea isn't don't give the legislature no per diem or anything like that. I think let's fine them $1,000 a day when they don't have the budget in. I mean, it has to be a consequence to not doing your job. When I was working, if I didn't do my job, I just didn't have a job. But since we don't have people who really think about who they're electing, let's make it okay if the budget isn't in by July 1st or when it's supposed to be. It's $1,000 a day fine for each legislature or each legislator, and then I'll bet you it would be on time a little bit more.
It could be. Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
You're welcome.
All right.
Well, that causes a revisiting of an old idea of mine that I'm bringing back, and that's a part-time legislature again. I do believe that would be an answer.
Well, you know, when our founding fathers started this country, I don't think they ever envisioned politicians that would be career politicians. I always thought that they would be thinking that these were farmers and businessmen that would come in because they were almost forced to do the business for the country. And then after 4 or 5 or 6 years, then they leave and go back home and go back to the people and then have somebody else come in. The idea of having career politicians, I think, is something that they didn't believe in.
The process lends itself to losing touch with the folks out there. Right. By the way, I want to compliment Ray and Bruce. You know, I have the privilege of being an elected representative, but I consider them both very fine representatives, too, and I enjoy Bruce's editorials all the time. They're very fair.
You know, I've read a couple of things that Bruce has written, and I've gone, what is he thinking of? And then I have read others that he has
That's
written.
That's more like it.
And then I've read others that he has written. I go, what is he thinking of? I mean, it's been good. In other words, if you know what, you can't be an editorial writer and please everybody.
If you don't shake it up.
Hey, okay. Final thoughts here, Bruce.
Final thoughts?
Yeah, just quick ones here.
Well, you know, I would just suggest that people should probably look at the initiatives, each one individually on their own, and judge them on their merits rather than just saying, oh, to hell with the politicians. Let's just vote no on everything. I don't think that's necessarily a constructive way to move our politics forward.
I think that is a good statement. Ray?
Well, you know, my feelings is I really don't trust politicians, but I think everyone should go to the polls. I think it's terrible when people don't go, and the only thing that they do is complain whenever they don't get what they want.
Hey, Jim, you got like 15 seconds.
Citizens, don't discount your own ability. You always make wise decisions, and I respect that. Read them and make your own minds up.
Great. Hey, thanks a lot, Jim, for calling in.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today.
Yeah, you know what? In the mail, you're going to see something that says California statewide special election Tuesday, May 19th, 2009. It has got a pretty good synopsis, but we're going to be talking more about this next week. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?